Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for Essen Fressen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Adrian Bugatti and I am with
Sharon Dury.
And we are talking about holiday foods and kids' foods and things just to serve when you're going away or when you're staying at home. So, Shaw, tell me, what is the biggest bugbear that you have when you're stuck, whether you go away or you're staying at home and it's December?
Okay, so it's, for me, it's definitely one sheet, one pan meals, okay? Crockpot meals.
Yes.
And one pot wonders.
Absolutely.
Those are my go-to dishes during the holidays. And what I like to do is when I have help, get everything done before and, like, you know, the vegetables blanched and frozen.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I can just make a stir fry.
Okay.
So all I have to do is get the chicken, which is probably in the freezer already, add some sauce and that's it. I like to fry up a few packets of rice as well.
Okay.
And have that in the freezer, defrost in the microwave. And basically work from there. And then, you know, go to my one-pan chicken tortillas, which are so easy to make. Get beautiful fresh tortillas. And then you can just, I'm just trying to think, you can make steak fajitas. Get everything sort of ready beforehand,
yeah,
then it's not so difficult.
That's true. Like, we were laughing last night. We had a braai, and somebody was saying, "Yeah, compliments to the chef." You know, we were joking. I remember seeing a joke, and it would say, "Compliments to the chef," but all the guy did was stand in front of a fire. The person who actually made the salads, made the marinade, got everything ready.
Exactly.
They're forgotten. So, but it was still nice. And look, braai meat is always nice reheated the next day as well.
Yeah.
It's cleaning the braai that I don't really like, so I try not to do it when I don't have someone else who can clean for me. One of the things, I know you like it as well, you like the grazing tables, is a kid's, so if you've got kids at home and, you know, when kids are at home and they are bored, they're hungry. Mm-hmm. And the refrain is, there's nothing to eat. And what they actually mean is there's nothing ready to eat.
Correct.
Not anything. So I saw an idea the other day of a kid's charcuterie board, specifically for kids. So it was called kid's cuterie board, not charcuterie.
Nice.
And it was finger foods. So you put a cutting board or something. You got cheese cubes. If you're not kosher, you can have the deli meats. But otherwise, I know some people don't like the soy, but I'll often use the fries bologna, the vegan bologna.
Right.
Also, well, when the kids were smaller, cube that as well. They like picking at that. Things like veggie sticks. So you've got to see what kids you've got, what you know. So carrots were a big popular one. A couple of my kids really like the peppers, bell peppers, yellow and the red, not the green. Carrot sticks, definitely. I've only got one who likes celery. And she's on her own for that. You know, and they did that. Then they did...
she's going more like vegan style.
Yeah, so, you know, fruit slices, hummus, tahina, some dips, some crackers, pretzels. Just stick it out and let them help themselves throughout the day.
Well, that's what I'm bringing for Hanukkah, and I'll tell you all about it after the break.
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Okay, so we're talking grazing tables, and you said you have something.
Okay, so for Hanukkah, I'm doing what they call a harvest table.
Okay.
Okay, so I had to decide, am I going to do it meat? Am I going to do it milk?
Yep.
So the milk could obviously be smoked salmon and cream cheese and all the different cheeses we can get. But obviously, I'm going to go the meat route.
Yes.
Okay. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a piece of plastic down, cover it with brown paper, and then I'll have all different hearts and boxes and things like that. And then, but I'm going to have basically, let's start off with a couple of ideas. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to have cold meat, and I'm going to have wraps, and I'm going to have bagels. Don't forget the schmaltz. And the people still love schmaltz. It's yes. Amazing. Yes. Unbelievable. Schmaltz, mayonnaise, all the pickles and all that kind of thing. But I'm going to keep my latkes warming in a slow oven so that okay. they stay nice and crispy. And I will serve those like when I call everybody to the table. But what I'm going to do is in a glass, a nice bowl, I'll put some biltong, some dry boar sticks, and make it like really meaty and deli-fied. Have you seen on TikTok how they do those beautiful salami roses?
Oh, yes, I have.
In a wine glass.
Yes, and they look so pretty.
Put it all the way around and then just turn it upside down. You've got this beautiful. Okay, so I'm going to do that. Also, I'm going to do chopped liver.
Mm-hmm.
I put that in a little flat dish. Everything basically will go on the brown paper. I'll have little pita chips and that they can dip in all the different dips as well. I'll have some marinated mushrooms. So people can actually decide, do they want to go a bagel route?
Yeah.
A bread route? You know, most people are very health conscious, especially now.
Yes. People have become
health conscious. Got to fit into our...
I hate that. Summer bodies. To me, it is one of the most triggering, like, and I don't get triggered, but summer bodies is a nonsense thing.
Okay, so then we have as well, we can have like all different salatim, as they call it. Okay, so we have the grated carrots and I boil that with a tablespoon of curry, just lightly boil it. Curry powder, and then I drizzle over a little bit of date syrup as well. Or you can have whole baby carrots, also beautiful, with your celery, etc. Then you can just get them all ready made. It's so easy. You get your avo dip, your eggplant mayonnaise, your hummus, your Turkish salad, beetroot and pesto salad, which I gave the recipe last week, which is so easy. Just get beetroot, boil beetroot.
2 weeks ago.
If you don't want to boil the beetroot, get it already boiled from fresh fillers.
Yeah.
Eggplant dips. You know what I've done? You get the eggplant at fresh fillers. I cut it in half because they're quite thick.
Yeah.
Cut it in half and then I fry it a little bit longer in peri oil.
Oh.
So it's nice and
I love
spicy.
A peri oil. I mean, I've got it, but never thought to do that.
Or you can just bake it and drizzle a bit of peri oil over it. And you can actually put a little bit of date syrup as well.
Sounds delicious.
Sweet and sour. Then, of course, you have your section of your olives, your homemade pickled cucumbers, asparagus. As I said before, the celeries, and then baby tomatoes or sliced tomatoes with a dressing, with a little bit of oil, balsamic vinegar, and some basil leaves. I wish you could see my hands.
Yeah.
Are you watching my hands?
You know, anybody who knows any Jew will know that Jewish women struggle to talk without their hands.
Yeah.
I used to tease my cousin. I used to make her sit on her hands and try and talk, and she could never do it.
You start swaying your head.
So, yeah.
Then we can add some baby corn.
Yeah.
Sliced red onions, some capers. We can do marinated peppers or just fresh peppers.
Mm.
And just make up your own bowl of whatever you want. And then, of course, on the side, you can have some dried fruit, some crispy onion rings that are already made, grapes, strawberries, fruit, melon, whatever you want to. So, I mean, you can be healthy and you can have your pineapple and your dried fruits and your mango. And you get the most beautiful fruit at the moment. Beautiful.
Yes.
And then, of course, you can have a lovely glass jug with some ice water. Get that ready before, put it in the fridge, put some mint, put some pomegranate seeds, put some lemon, slices of lemon, and you've got that. It doesn't have to be expensive fruit juice.
So one of the tricks I learned from a chef at one of the lodges is they make the iced tea, you know, your flavored tea, so your Five Roses berries or whatever. they make it, and they make it a little bit strong, and they pour the into the bottom of a jug with some honey, just to sweeten it up. And then they fill it with sparkling water.
Yeah.
So you've got a sparkling drink. I mean, for those who don't like sparkling, you can do it with still water as well. And you can do it with any of the flavors that you want. You know, I don't drink water. I don't like it. But I'll drink that iced tea thing.
Yes, iced tea is terrific.
Yeah.
You drink a lot of it. They drink it in America.
It's a big thing,
Everything
yes.
is with iced tea.
Yes.
Anyway, and then, of course, if we want something sweet afterwards, a couple of donuts.
You know what? Besides now being hungry after listening to all that, I'm actually exhausted. That sounds like, even though you've bought a lot of stuff ready-made, it sounds like a lot of work, I must admit. But that, you love entertaining out. Like that. For me, entertaining has got to be as simple as possible, hence the bra. And I went with old standards. I served potato salad.
Right.
You know, and just a French salad, you know, because I have beautiful lettuce growing in my garden and it's about to sprout, so I won't be able to use it anymore. So I'll have to go back to buying in the shop. And I had celery, so I made celery soup as well. I was able to cut enough celery from my garden to get that, and beautiful beetroot soup, like, you know, and roasted beetroots as well.
Yes.
So that was nice. And those... The roasted beetroots, or even the boiled beetroots with salt, they last in the fridge for a long time once they're cooked. So, you know, having those ready. And I've got a couple of people in the house who will quite happily take a beetroot out, cut it up, and just sit and eat it. You know, so that's nice. And the celery soup, even though you're meant to serve it hot, it's nice served cold.
Yes.
I am lazy, so I don't take the string off. Once I've blended it up, I stick it through a strainer.
I can't stand the hairs.
so I do stick it through a strainer. But you were talking about having pitters and stuff on your table. So that's another thing for the holidays to keep the family entertained is DIY wraps, pitters or tacos. And you just let the kids assemble their own wraps or pitter pockets or whatever using filler, like your chicken, leftover chicken or leftover beef. So if you've got, if you're lucky enough, canned beans or falafel, make a salsa, grate some cheese, chop up some lettuce, dice a few tomatoes, and let the kids put it together themselves.
One very important thing that I forgot about my table is that wherever you see a space, just stuff it with green herbs. And you know what? Buy them in the little buckies, little containers, and you can grow them, put them in your garden afterwards.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong.
Okay.
And then you can get and put rosemary on, and you can get, what are those, like ruscus you can put on, and the eucalyptus green. Oh.
Okay.
All sorts of things.
Yes. That's that.
To fill the space.
Getting hungry. So let's see what else we can do just now.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome. And I am talking to Rabbi Sean Wingren from SOSA we're actually talking about a topic that comes up quite regularly and goes along with meal planning and holiday meals and, unfortunately, a necessity, which is hospital meals. And all hospitals have the same issue, whether it's kosher or not kosher, that the meals are often not great. And that's directly because of the budget that they're given by the medical aid, not the hospitals themselves, but by the medical aids to look after the patient's nutrition. Now, we know it's been a debate in a lot of Facebook groups and online and everywhere how bad the hospital food is. So I'm talking to Rabbi Sean Wingren, who is head of SOSA. SOSA is, started as a Shira group in Sally's Alley, and then it moved into 2017. It became SOS for the Aged as a nonprofit. So for those who know about it, it's the help buttons for the elderly who live on their own. They can press the button and then Hatzolah comes and helps them, or somebody phones them and just sees what needs to be done. And then in 2019, they added medical aids for people who can't afford medical aid. And currently they are assisting 100 families
with medical aid. And this is where they discovered that the food side of the hospital is lacking as a part of the holistic care of the health of the patient. So welcome, Rabbi Wingren, to the SM Fresen Show.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege to be spending this time with you and your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're talking about the holistic fact of the food and the issues with kosher food specifically for us around hospital stays. Unfortunately, both of us have been on the receiving end of hospital food that wasn't suitable for the medical conditions that we have, but the food that, you know, that we needed is not available at the moment. Is that correct?
Very much so. And the challenge that I faced in addition was, unlike yourself, we had no one in the family. I lost my dear sister, Miriam, a year or two years ago almost, who was the cook. And suddenly we were faced with home catering in a hospital setting. And but very, very tight dietary, specific dietary requirements.
Yeah.
And food unavailable from any food suppliers. The only way to source it would be finding individuals to cook, which became a big, big challenge for myself. In fact, I lost a lot of kilos through that process, which itself is not a good thing. It's taken a long time to put that back on. So, you know, it's a real, real problem. And fortunately, I'm blessed to have a wonderful supportive family and a network. Mm. But even with that, we battled to solve it, and it took a very long time. And we're just cracking it now. And I must thank you for your input as well.
It's a pleasure.
But imagine someone who doesn't have all of these as support structures and they need a special diet, even as simple as a gluten-free diet, which so many need.
Yeah.
How do they deal with it in a private hospital setting? Very often people are there for a short stay, so it's not such an issue. But I was there for extended stays.
Yeah.
And it really became quite a challenge how to deal with it. The funniest episode was, so I got to know all the kosher restaurants, and I had an Uber motorbike driver walk into my ward wearing his helmet, bringing me my food. And I was so honored, and I was quite amazed that they let him come up all the way.
Yeah, I did that as well. Why not? I got Uber to deliver me food because I couldn't eat it. So, yes.
No, I had Ubers all the time coming backwards and forwards. And
it was really, yeah.
But these are the challenges. And thank God, I must tell you, we are so blessed, so blessed with the range and variety of kosher food. When one starts digging a little bit deeper into the smaller caterers who make the most delectable food. It took me a long time to discover them, and I've managed to sort of source the, how shall I say, the creme de la creme of their offerings that would be more suitable to someone with a specific diet.
Yeah.
On the flip side, there was a gentleman in the hospital. He was a little bit older than me, a bachelor.
Mm.
He had similar condition to myself, but uncontrolled, to the point where the doctor had inserted a special feeding tube in his nose to feed him with a special diet, controlled.
I
came to visit him in his ward. We were on separate floors. There's another story. Maybe I'll get a chance to share how food changed my ability to go and visit him. And he was complaining of feeling a bit nauseous. Why? Well, being a bachelor, he had no one to cook for him. And he'd ordered a kiddie's meal from one of our wonderful restaurants. Burger and chips. And you know... obviously you're not going to feel so great.
Yeah,
and
no.
You're on a very sophisticated, specialized medical diet. And you're eating really something that many parents will not even give their children if they are health conscious or as a very special treat. in the hospital. And it just shook me. Unfortunately, sadly, he passed away suddenly a while later. I was never able to help him, but it really just showed me what actually happens and what can happen in this setting. But during my stay there, I had a lot of time to get to understand how the food system works, the non-kosher and the kosher, the halal. I'd also met with CEOs of two hospitals. One actually told me that if she could get the non-kosher food right during her tenure as CEO, then she was a successful CEO. So that is really how far reaching the food is. And while we're talking about this, just kudos to our very, very special CEO still of Netcare, Dr. Richard Friedland, and the most caring, giving person. I've dealt with him on many occasions, but he sponsored the brocha at his shul one Shabbos, just to give you an idea. And he said to everyone, I know I will get no complaints this Shabbos from the brocha, because every day I get complaints about the food. The food. This is the CEO of Medcare. So the hospital groups battle. And as you so carefully pointed out, the challenge comes from the source of money supply.
Yeah.
Think about it. We never get a line item on our medical bill from the hospital for food.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Somewhere along the line. And there are special food requirements, kosher, halal, special dietary requirements. The volumes require a lot more money to be able to cater compared to the hospital's non-kosher food, which is cooked in-house by a kitchen. And they've got huge volume. They're supplying many, many meals a day. You can have one patient in, take a far-flung hospital, wonderful hospital like Flora Clinic, one kosher patient.
Yeah.
Now you've got to send a supply vehicle with refrigerated food for one patient. How on earth can you cover those costs unless the medical aides would be prepared to give extra money for special dietary requirements? So we have a fundamental problem over here.
Yeah.
And what we realized was that the solution is three pronged. Let's start just with the hospital itself. Often the person coming around to take those food orders is a very simple individual, low paid staff member, sometimes cannot read, and sometimes one may be presented with a menu which is all black and white, small writing, and you're lying on your hospital bed and now you are asked to choose. So the one thing we have tried to change is to offer a menu with pictures and simple, as well as an online where you can do it from your cell phone, which
that would
today
be amazing.
Everyone in their hospital bed, please God, we'll get it going, has their cell phone with them, and they can order very simply right from their cell phone. That's the one thing. The other thing is, with this whole concept of Ubers, which is changing things so much, we've come up with our own kind of Uber system where we found a group of ladies who already do lifting and deliveries. And we have invited them to join our group to offer, we'll pay them, to go and deliver meals at a specific hospital. So we'll put it out there. Whoever gets it first, that's their job to go and deliver, let's say, five meals to this hospital, the next person. Why ladies? Because they can easily go into both a ladies' ward and a man's ward and deliver the food. And we're hoping to strike deals with the private hospitals whereby our group of ladies, men also welcome, will be able to go straight into the ward with the piping hot meal, not only serve it to the patients. And if you think about special meals, they often come with sort of red tape around them.
Yeah.
It has to be sort of cut away because very hard. You don't always have talons and knives and things to deal with. And
that's
sometimes
it.
Fingers are not able to do this. And shame, I remember I was in a Pretoria hospital and this poor lady had come out of theatre and she was just trying to open a simple packet of sugar and she was battling. I mean, that was just, and
That's
we're not
it.
even talking about kosher, we're just talking about trying to open the candle little thing or whatever it was. Even these little things, presentation and what's the patient's needs and their age, etc. But
Yeah.
with a lady who knows food, they can make it so much more enjoyable and give us feedback and
Yeah.
say, well, this one would like more pepper, more salt, condiments, etc., etc.
And I think
So that's
also,
the second.
yeah, I also think the fact that like a lot of people like liquid diets or soft diets, I must tell you, even with the non-kosher stuff, I did see that was an issue. The non-kosher people also, the person taking the order doesn't understand the nuances of the different diets. So they often let the clients order whatever they wanted, and then it's wrong.
Exactly.
With the kosher option, unfortunately, there wasn't any of that option available.
And I'll tell you, even with regards to the nutritionalist, because actually in this hospital they have, and I'm sure in many, they have a nutritionalist in charge of the patient. And I discussed the food with her, and she said, even in the non-kosher, they do not have a light meal option. Many times a patient wants a light meal. They do not want to be presented with a whole big meal. It's off-putting to them and they don't want to waste.
It's too much.
And that in non-kosher, she said, is not even available. So that brings me now to the other aspect is our menu. We have tried to incorporate various aspects into our menu. Also because it's online, it's very easy for us to change. But we certainly do have a light option, a light meal option and a etc. etc. So it's a growing project. And then the other aspect is to bear in mind, firstly, we're not trying to replace what's out there. We're not a food supplier or catering company, but we are trying to supplement and to cater for what's missing and lacking, and to improve the situation and especially to provide better nutrition, which is a key component. Just to quote the head of the ICU at the hospital I was in, the surgical ICU, anaesthetist, I'd say in her late 40s, early 50s, and we got chatting, and she said, I can give you the best medicine in the world. But if you're not getting good nutrition, I can't heal you. Now that's coming from a doctor, head of the ICU. So it's so fundamental and important. And
That's
it
it.
boggles the mind why the medical aides haven't addressed this. Because really, they do such amazing things with various programs. And nutrition is so fundamental to one's health. So we are hoping, therefore, to launch this project on trial basis, and please God grow it, where patients will be able to order kosher food online, have it delivered within an hour, hot, and 3 times a day if necessary, according to their needs, which we will please God adjust. Essentially, we are a logistics company. And through our social medical, our non-profit, we are also hoping that people will donate to the project. We're not running it as a company whereby we've got the volumes to cover the admin costs and the various logistics components and the IT, because imagine getting the food in an hour. We're using sort of slightly high tech IT, not AI or anything like that, but there are costs and they have to be borne by someone. We can issue tax certificates, etc. So just to try and wrap it up, I know I've gone on a long time, that we're looking at addressing the logistics, the nutrition, the ordering process, the quality, the range of food available, and also the money supply, by calling
Absolutely.
on our community to support us in our project and to volunteer if you're able to. Perhaps you'd like to go and deliver some meals to a particular hospital and join our group of ladies as and when you're able to take them food. Also, perhaps you want to be a supplier of food, and we can include you, obviously, according to what's approved by our nutritionalist and the needs in our food supply options. So those are the aspects.
Listen, I'm looking forward to having this happen and to seeing this
please go
turn out, because it's been a thing. I mean, I've been a nurse for like 40 years, and food complaints have been around for as long as that, whether you were kosher or not. So I do know that the fact that, and kosher has always had to struggle with these speciality meals, but I think all specific diets struggle throughout the hospital stays, because hospitals, yes, their meals are healthy, but they're averaged at somebody who doesn't actually have somebody who's got a chest infection or whatever, doesn't need a special diet, just needs nutrition. So those kind of things. So we're looking forward to that. And it's been great talking to you. So thank you very much. It's been very, very interesting. And I'm looking forward to seeing what comes. If people want to find out more, how do they do this? Who do they contact? Where do they go to?
Onto our website. And very easy
to the website. Yeah.
SOSA Medical, spelled SOSA.
Yeah.
Medical, one word, sosamedical.org, O-R-G. And they can find it all over there. We also have a simple landline WhatsApp number to reach out to us. Just one last little thing. Mm. We've been talking about private hospital food. But I must tell you, thank God, for a long time now, we have a wonderful group of volunteers who cook kosher meals at short notice for patients in public hospitals, where kosher food is not even an option to order it. It's just simply unavailable. And quite honestly, those patients get far better food than any non-kosher, halal patient, other than food that's cooked by yours truly.
Absolutely.
My interviewer. But,
thank you.
Which I have sampled. But we're always looking for volunteers and assistance around that program, because unfortunately we still do have many patients ending up in public hospital settings.
Yeah,
and
we do.
Got our, we will address it all around. So thank you so much for the time and the privilege to share this with your listeners. And please God, we'll touch base again with some good news.
Definitely. Thank you for coming on the show. And we'll look forward to hearing more in the future.
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back. I'm Adrian Bugatti, and with me is
Sharon Newry.
And we're the Essen Fressen show. So we're talking about like easy things and things to do over the holidays, meals to prepare and stuff. I've got one, baked potatoes. Now,
all different fillings.
Yes.
Okay.
So when I, years and years ago, when I still lived in the nurse's res, there was a place in Hillbrow, German-owned place called Spuddy Buddy. They had about 112 toppings that you could choose from, including, believe it or not, on your baked potato, you could have chopped herring. Not chopped herring, sorry. What's pickled herring? Yeah. You could have herring and cream. You could have sour cream. You could have normal cream. You could have goulash. You could have cheese, whatever cheeses you want. They had mincemeat. They had, like, there were just so many toppings to choose from. And it's something that's such a nice idea, because, quite honestly, sticking your potato in a microwave is 6 minutes a potato. So doing it for a lot of people, and what I like to do is I pre-cook my potatoes in the microwave, and then when I want the skin nice and crispy and that, I put some oil on some tinfoil, wrap it in, and pop it in the oven for about 10 more minutes, and it's just beautiful. And then you choose your topping. You can make like a salad bar topping type thing, which is such a nice idea, you know, for everybody to have, and it's a healthy option. Because they say the potato is not the bad part about your meal. It's what you put in it.
Exactly.
So And I love it. Like, one of my go-to meals is still baked potato with cheese.
Oh, I love that. And tuna and mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And
absolutely
with
beautiful.
Salad, with a lovely French salad. Nothing wrong.
Just a plain potato.
Potassium. That's what we really need.
Yeah.
Potassium.
Definitely. So you said to me earlier, you actually have a recipe for us.
I tried something. You know, I love trying new things, as you know, and I love sharing it. So this was made in a cast iron frying pan. Now, why it has to be cast iron is because it has to go into the oven as well.
Okay, so you need an oven-safe frying pan.
Okay, and what you're it's called my Chanukah, because I'm going to make it on Chanukah as well. Mm-hmm. My Chanukah onion tipsy turvy tart.
Oh, wow.
And you'll hear why it's tipsy turvy. Okay, so you'll need some oil for frying, 1 teaspoon of crushed garlic, 1 teaspoon of chili flakes. There's the dried ones. Mm. 1.5 teaspoons of dried mixed herbs, a sprinkling of salt and pepper, and 500 grams of baby onions, which you need to peel and slice them in half. 2 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, 3 tablespoons of honey, or the Ceylan date syrup, which I love, and a roll of puff pastry, which will fit nicely into the frying pan.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't want it to be, to go over the top. It must, like, fit in, but I'll explain that. Okay, so in a heavy-based cast iron pan, that is oven-proof, we add some oil, just, you know, to cover the bottom. Then you heat this oil over medium heat, and you add the garlic, the chili flakes, and the mixed herbs. Give it a good stir, and you add the peeled and half lengthwise onions, and you pack them in a circular motion from the outside into the middle, like a snake spiraled. Okay, and you sprinkle them with salt and pepper, 2 tablespoons of the balsamic vinegar, and 3 tablespoons of the date syrup, or you can use honey if you want to.
Yeah.
And that's the syrup is what caramelizes it and gets all that lovely brownness. Okay, and you'll have to keep sort of lifting it to see if they've gone brown and lovely and caramelized underneath, lifting the onions. And
yes.
Okay, but you leave them facing the mound sort of on top.
Yeah,
right. Okay, and then what you do is that when you see it's lovely and brown, okay, remember, cook it on low heat. You don't want to burn it.
Mm.
Cook it on low to medium heat. You take the pastry.
Yeah.
Cut it to just fit around the onions.
Mm.
Tuck it in. Prick it all over. Stick it in the oven, in the preheated oven. And your preheated oven should be about 210, 220.
Nice and nice and hot.
It's very hot. Pastry rises beautifully in a very hot oven. Now, remember, your onions are cooked anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you put it in the oven, and after about 20, 25 minutes, when you see it's lovely and golden, you take the dish out of the oven, put a plate on top of it, quite a big plate on top of it, and you flip it over, and it's absolutely delicious.
So it's kind of like an onion tartare.
Yes, exactly. But as I said, must be lovely and crispy.
Oh, sounds amazing.
Yeah. And if you want to, you can actually paint it with a little bit of oil to make sure that that pastry is really crispy.
That sounds amazing. That's definitely something nice to do.
And there you have beautiful onion bake.
Listen, bought pastry is my go-to thing.
Absolutely.
This month I do have to make a beef Wellington.
Ah.
It's my once-a-year thing.
Yes.
It's so much work.
It is.
So, yes.
Let's go to the ad break.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Well, now it's actually all about the dessert, because we've got to end off a meal with dessert. Now, I'm not a big dessert maker. I am very basic. For me, eat and mess, which is meringues, cream, and berries. simple, quick, no hassle there. And it doesn't have to look pretty either. In fact, that's why it's called a mess. Mulva pudding, easy to make as well. Nice, quick desserts, things like that. Fruit salad, well, not fruit salad. I always laugh. My kids, if you put out a fruit salad and you put out a fruit platter with the exact same ingredients, the fruit platter will disappear, the fruit salad will be left. Nobody will touch it. I have no idea why. So that kind of thing. Ice cream, obviously, homemade ice cream, so easy to make. Just, stick it in, all the ingredients in one, beat it up until it's stiff and shove it in the freezer. So it's easy to have around. And you can mess around with different flavors. You can put pudding in it. You can put jelly in it if you want. When I do a strawberry ice cream, I use strawberry jelly.
Oh, that's interesting.
Fresh
strawberries?
Occasionally, but my family prefers smooth ice creams. They're not mad about the thing. So we'll do fruit on the side, like fresh strawberries, or I'll drizzle chocolate over something. They don't like the... I love the halva ice cream and chocolate chip ice cream, but the rest, not so mad about it. But you go all out with your desserts.
Depends. Depends on the crowd. Depends who's on diet, who isn't. But there's a new ice cream sorbet that I've seen that's being given license is Sorbetto.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I saw that advertised.
Did you see that? Yeah. So I thought, so let me make something with this sorbetto. So I took some oranges. Slice them really finely. Okay, so you can use your mandolin.
Yeah.
But sometimes the orange squashes a bit.
Yeah, and the mandolin doesn't slice like
flat. It would a carrot.
Yeah.
Okay, so then use a nice sharp knife and slice the oranges really thin. And then I do what I did with the salami. I turned the wine glass upside down and I put all the thin pieces of the orange around. Then I turned it upside down, so it's a lovely little orange flower. I put the orange sorbet in the middle with a piece of a little cherry mint.
Okay.
And there it is.
That's nice. That's a different idea. Sorbets are great. I have a machine that does like almost instant sorbets. So what I do is I buy the smoothie fruits or, that are in the freezer in the shop, and shove them in my machine with a little bit of sugar. I don't use as much as they ask. And some lemon juice just to balance it and blitz it till it's smooth. So I try not to do, the berry ones because the berry ones, you've got to sieve it because it always has
the little pips.
And nobody wants those. So, and it's just, sorbets are great. Also, stay in the freezer nice and long. I can remember, do you remember as a kid doing the ice lollies with the Licol? I grew up with it. We used to make the Licol, fill it in, and then put the sticks.
That's right.
So now I saw the other day, it's not a trend because it's been around for a while, is doing the sorbet like that, is making a sorbet, putting it into those things, putting the sticks on, and you've got sorbet ice lollies, which are really nice. Or even doing smoothies and freezing them. Okay. Which makes a nice, cold treat that is healthy for the kids to be able to use or to eat. And it just, it's a lot cheaper than the ice creams you're buying in the shop today. I nearly had a heart attack. I got a treat. And the ice cream was like 54 rand. So, no. Oh, I have to tell you. I told you 2 weeks ago that I don't have an air fryer.
Yes.
Somebody gave me a gift.
Oh, okay.
And I've got an air fryer now. So now I've got to learn how to use the thing. Because so far all it's done is reheat a pie and reheat chips.
But you know what? They're actually wonderful for latkes as well.
Yeah, I want to try that. And then I actually saw I saved it on my phone. I don't know what recipe it is. A air fryer donut recipe.
Okay.
And one of the reasons I don't make donuts is because I don't like deep frying stuff.
Yes. So you can
For me, a budget waste of oil. Because you can't use the oil again. What are you going to use it for? So air fryer one sounds.
And chicken wings. Oh,
I did chicken wings. They didn't come out crispy.
Didn't they?
No, these ones didn't, but I don't know.
You need to leave it long enough. Longer. And you know what I do?
They were delicious,
mine?
Though.
I fry them without any sauce. I mean, what's his name?
In the paper.
Yeah, but I don't put sauce on yet.
Oh, yeah.
And I let them get dry and crispy and then put them in the sauce.
So I am looking, I'm looking for recipes. I've been hunting.
Oh, you'll find plenty. Yeah,
the problem is there are too many.
Yeah.
I can't decide what I want. So this is the thing. Okay, so I want to give everybody a tip for this holiday. And I know everybody's heard me say this 1,000 times. And it's called meal planning is your friend. And yeah, it's a pain. But once you get in the habit, it's great. But now when you're tired and you want to have a break and you just want a holiday, you don't want to think about stuff. So before that happens, draw up a meal plan. Depending on the age of your kids and your family members, draw up a meal plan based on who's cooking what. Instead of you cooking, all you have to worry about, unfortunately, is the shopping part. And that can be done online mostly.
Exactly.
Or delivered to your house.
Sometimes it's cheaper because you don't buy the extras.
Yeah. So on that note, we want to wish you a great week. And we will be back next week. And hopefully we will have some more exciting things for you to do.
Yes, and if you want to, just contact us and let us know what you want to hear.
Yes.